Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So here was our assignment from yesterday. Condition in psychology to cause to respond in a certain way to a certain stimulus, to develop a reflex or behavior pattern. Conditioned. In philosophy or metaphysics, that which depends upon or is determined by something else, opposed to the absolute. Until we travel to a foreign culture, it's difficult to see that how life is for us is not how life is for all people. Without considering it, we assume everyone is seeing things as we do, feeling as we feel, thinking as we think, etc. Even when we've had a traumatic experience that clearly demonstrates that's not so, we continue to believe unconsciously that it is. After countless relationships with other human beings, we are still surprised at how people think and behave. This is all the proof we need that we spend much of our lives not present. When we're actually here, we know that anything might happen, that people might say or do anything, and that we have no idea what's going to happen next. True? Today, notice how often you're surprised by what happens, and RL, what you see about not being here as a moment unfolds. Shall we hear from our first caller, Sherry?
Oh, yes.
All right. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? First caller?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. This is Carol. I'm home from the retreat.
Hello.
Hi.
How's re-entry?
Yeah. Oh, well, I'll tell you how it was. Often I'm just filled with love for everything and everybody. So I got out of the retreat, and then I saw myself criticizing people. Either they're better than me or less than me, and I thought, this is stranding me in the middle, you know, by myself. And so it was shocking, you know, to have this happen right after the retreat. And let's see, I'm losing my train of thought. Oh, right.
Well, so I thought, go ahead.
So I thought maybe it was conditioning coming in. And then I thought, no, this is kind of a gift because it allowed me to hold this thing that I don't like about how ego functions in me, you know, that criticism. So it's like, oh, I don't like this. And I can kind of hold it tenderly. And it was amazing.
Uh-huh. So having that experience enabled you to see something so that you come out of the retreat, you're paying close attention, right? Because that's what you've been doing for 5 days. And so this old karmic pattern comes up, conditioning, ego, does what it does, and you see it.
And I see it, yeah.
Yeah, you see it really clearly, and you see how it maintains ego at your expense.
Exactly, yeah. And so this happened, and then I went into the grocery store, and I saw this man who was working, you know, and I thought, oh, my God, this guy is at his job. He's doing his job. He's working, you know. It was just, so then that connection was back again, and that ability to be touched by ordinary things.
Uh-huh.
So
we have that moment of getting outside our own conditioned reality, right?
Yeah.
And there is, now you're, of course you're projecting, because that's what we always do, but the point is there was somebody else that you could actually see, that you could see and relate to and appreciate, and the heart opens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, this is very good.
It's very good, yeah. And it's so interesting because ego didn't want me to get on the call, like really badly didn't want me to get on the call this morning. And so, of course, I'm the first caller. And now I've moved from, you know, that resistance and annoyance to, you know, tenderness. So I'm just so happy for this.
Yes.
So thanks.
Yes. And, yeah. And, again, for all of us, because we're not always having the experience at the same time. We encounter that resistance, and the resistance is meant to cause us to believe that this is me, and this is how I feel, and this is what's going on, this is really true. And what mm-hmm. you have a chance to see is, no, it's just ego maintaining itself. That's all resistance ever is. That's all no ever is ego maintaining itself.
Yep.
Yeah. Good to see.
Go ahead. Good to see you.
No, I just said good to see, yeah.
Yes, it is, yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, I'm glad you're home safe and sound.
Yeah, me too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, bye Carol.
Bye.
Gotcha.
I think it's really remarkable, right, Cherry, with practice, where we can describe the attributes of a conditioned mind, and in developing the awareness of it, we know what it is, right? It's an awareness of where we are, almost. And I think those big bamboozles are so helpful, and Carol mentioned comparison as one of them. When we're in comparison, then we are in the dualistic conditioned world, and mm-hmm. we can recognize that and redirect our attention. When we feel separate, we're in the bamboozle of separation. It basically reveals itself as certain patterns of thought.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I loved the point that Carol made, that whether it's saying I am better than you or I'm worse than you, it has me separate, because everybody is going to be identified as either better than I am or worse than I am, which, you know, just puts me right out on the outside of humanity, which is exactly where ego wants us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, believing we're separate.
All right, here's our next caller.
Okay.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, good morning. This is Greta.
Hey, Greta.
Hi. So I am having the same experience the previous caller, not in the detail,
That's because you're Washingtonians. That's happening in the state of Washington this morning. No, just kidding. Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, in the process, not in the content specifically, and just, putting myself in the queue, having a big, oh, no, you don't know what you're going to say, feeling all these sensations in the body, and then saying, you know, kind of coming to with the sensations, recognizing the process of ego doing its thing, and then choosing. You know, this is, you know, I'm not going to stay in that place. And what I saw about it as I was listening is there's another little process in there that makes, it kind of is a conclusion that it's going to take too long to get centered. So you have to stay with the ego reaction, like you're not going to be able to get here and be present to what is. You're going to have to stay in that emotional or sensational thing that's going on and be afraid and stay with ego. And so watching,
it'll take too long.
Yeah, yeah, I get this, and it happens a lot to me. I get this deer in the headlights thing where I go completely blank. And I don't know what to do or say. And then the default pushes me back to going with ego, which is usually an unfortunate reaction and not very skillful. So just watching that, there's that, the move to consciousness, to awareness, but there's still that, like, this little subtle resistance spot that I just kept catching on to.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, two things about that. One, what if you just simply relabel those sensations excitement?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's a fast one. That's something that we can actually do. And much as we know doing is not the answer, it can be helpful to have things to do. And so the action of renaming those sensations would actually short-circuit that next process, right? The deer in the headlights. Because you would be engaged in an activity that would bring you to presence.
In the activity of relabeling and feeling the sensations as excitement rather than as fear
right.
or worry or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, you would be here. And the second piece of that, of course, that is fun to practice with is deer in the headlights, okay? What that actually is a moment outside conditioned mind. So conditioned ego has basically shut down. And so what a glorious place to be, because I'm picturing, the eyeballs, looking around with, okay, what is this place? What is this place that is not egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate? And, of course, ego wants you to believe it's a bad, dangerous, scary place. But it's actually where we want to live because you're here. So then, you're looking around. All right. let's relabel these sensations, excitement, and this deer in the headlights place, presence, or here. All right. This is what I've been working hard to get to.
Yeah, that's so interesting that we can just keep coming back to the same place over and over again and look at it, like you're saying, reframe it, relabel it, and continue to practice with it in a different way. And it's fascinating because, when it actually happens, all of that is happening in less than a few seconds. But, we are here. As the quote is pointing out, when we are here, then we can see how that translates into some spaciousness to actually make the choice.
Yes, yes. And the thing that, of course, again, conditioned mind doesn't want us to realize is a second when we're present is extremely spacious.
Right, right. Because if we listen to those that have taught before, if we can let go of that concept of time, then, everything is available there, so we don't have to be limited by that notion.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, and all for somebody who didn't have anything to say or anything to see.
That's very good. All right.
Yes,
thank you, guys.
I want to join the chorus of all participants I just want to express my deep gratitude for this opportunity to practice in this way. It has been a remarkable year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We've all grown immeasurably, haven't we?
Yeah. I never would have imagined how it could be so transformative. But thank you both from the bottom of my heart. It's amazing.
Thank you, Greta. Much
Bye-bye.
Appreciated. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Greta. You know what I find really fascinating, Sherry, is when we get to see how our experience is of presence, but the narrative is of identification. And so part of what we do in practice is exactly what you were talking about, which is to be able to be aware enough to know that that's what conditioning is doing, and therefore I can have an experience of presence, and I am having an experience of presence if I'm not listening to a voice that labels it something else.
Wow. Yeah, that's it. Because we're always here, right? We can't possibly be anywhere else. The illusion is created in a story that we're somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's something that I think we've been looking at a lot about how the first impulse is always love. I think Sarah mentioned it yesterday. The first impulse is always love, and then it gets taken hold of and labeled and misjudged, Or in Carol's case, the first impulse was maybe a registration of difference, but it's not a registration of separation unless difference gets translated into self and other in judgment, which only happens in the story.
Yeah. So with Carol, even we see that people, other nodes of intelligence are manifesting differently than we are, which can be a source of great love and appreciation and enjoyment if
yes.
the story is not one of what's wrong with me, what's wrong with them.
That's right.
Well, that's very good.
Yeah. Really good. This is whether we're seeing with the lens of awareness or the lens of ego. It's that different,
yeah.
right? Circumstances are
yeah.
the same.
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Bev from Kentucky.
Well, hello there.
It's just so wonderful to hear all these things that I'm just experiencing myself. One thing that I've been doing, I think it was one day last week when Sherry was talking, someone asked about how often you listen to your recordings, do you keep them? And you said, I think you called it nattering. You just said you just listen to them endlessly and that you keep them all. So I've been doing that. It's probably about 2 or 3 weeks now that I just get it out and just natter. I just talk just like I would talk to my, you know, my dog or my cat or a friend. And I have had so much fun with this and seen, like, mountains of insights through just listening to my nattering. So I really appreciate that suggestion. It has helped me so much.
Oh, Beth, I just have to stop you right there. Okay, mountains of insights that come through just listening to you talk.
Yes, and one thing that I've really seen, I remember you said, well, I just like to listen to a happy person talking. And when I listen to these, I'm a happy person. The things I record about, for the most part, are joyful and uplifting. And then that take, that voice comes in to try to, you know, it just showed me how much I've been listening to lies, because I listen to these recordings and I'm having a pretty good time going through life every day. It's just been so, so wonderful to have that suggestion. So
I'm so glad, and I'm so glad you're doing it, and I'm so glad you're talking about it. It makes the entire difference. And what I just saw when you were saying that is what gets revealed is the deep lie that we live in for a very long time, that there's something wrong with me. Right?
Yes.
Because, as we were just talking about, that's what the conversation and conditioned mind is. Well, there's this, and there's this, and there's this, and there's this, and there's this. And it can seem like, God, this is awful. This is overwhelming. But when I'm actually listening to my own life experience, that's not it at all. I'm a completely different person than that voice of ego would ever want me to know.
Yes, and it's just been fun. And one of the biggest stories I was told at the beginning, I mean, there might be some days I'll have 10 or 15, you know, I think someone said they did them hourly, and I'm thinking, that's just too many. I can't store all those. And I'm just thinking, well, why can't I, you know? And it has been so much, it's just been great fun. And another thing that I think was in this same conversation, the young lady said, she asked herself, how am I being treated? And that's been another big one. When I stop and say, how am I being treated right now? Boy, you can see conditioning in an instant. And it even applies to other people. Is this how I want to treat this person? You know, is this?
Mm-hmm.
So just all these insights, they're just great. But I'm just talking to myself all day long has just been so much fun.
Yes, and Bev, the importance of that is you really are talking to yourself, which people would say, would believe, if they're not careful, is the same as just going around thinking or going around saying what's going on in conditioned mind out loud. And what we're describing here is a completely different experience.
Well, I see the patterns. You know, I'll be listening. I'll just put them on in the car and just let them loop. And I'll hear something I said 2 weeks ago, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I forgot all about that. I need to double up on that again. I need to look. And it just keeps, because the same stuff keeps coming up over and over. And it really helps.
Because you're still you.
Yeah, it really helps me think. And I've seen a lot of stuff that I get irritated with other people for doing that I'm doing myself, you know. So I'm thinking, So it has just been, I can't say how much not having an agenda. It's like when we get in the queue and we call and I don't know what I'm going to say or talk about. And I just start talking and all these wonderful things come out. So thank you very much for that suggestion. It's
No, please. Thank you. Thank you. That is a commercial. You know, I nag people about that kind of thing all the time. But to hear somebody else who is doing that practice and having that experience, I think it's powerful. I hope you have just encouraged a whole bunch of people to take that up and prove to themselves that it is what you're going to find is the relationship you've been looking for all of your life. Mm-hmm. You're going to find out that you are somebody that you never knew you were, and you find out that you're somebody that not only do you like, but that you can love unconditionally.
Yeah, and at first I thought, well, I'll just do it for a week, and then it's addictive. Once you get started, it's like, it's really lightened the load a lot. It's made me take things a lot more seriously and just go with the flow. It's just been great.
So, and just enjoy.
Gosh, thank you so much. And
thank you, Bev.
This year has just been, as everyone else has said, lovely, wonderful, beyond all my expectations. So thank you. And thank you, Ashwini, and everyone else in the Sangha. So I'll still be here practicing with you. Okay,
good.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye, Bev. Sherry, we have some real recording and listening heroes.
Heroes.
Yes. And I was just thinking, you know, we had the 90-day commitment to do the two-handed recording exercise, which people picked up and went with. And then we had recording 12 to 13 hours a day from Canada as a suggestion. And then we had just recently from Laura on checking in every hour and now just talking all the time.
Yeah. You're going to talk to somebody. It's either going to be a voice in your head who's talking to you, or you're going to get to spend your life with a really extraordinary person. And I'm hoping everybody votes for choice two.
Yes, me too. Well, we have time for another caller, Sherry, so here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello, hi. It's Anna in England. Hello. Hello. I've got a cold, so I might sound a bit funny. Hello.
Well, you don't
hello,
sound
everyone.
Like you, but not funny, but not like you.
Yeah. Not like me. So hello to you all and hello to everyone. And I just want to say as well, thank you, like everyone's been saying, for Project Joy this year. It's been amazing to have it and to have it over here in England. It's out of this world, really. So thank you for that. And this has been such a lovely radio show. The last caller, that was really fun. And I've had a very similar experience myself. So it was lovely to hear that from somebody else. So it just reinforces it. Through a combination of things, through recording and listening and just other events, I've just been really lucky. And I think just from being aware I've had a bit of space over Christmas, and just really seeing myself and seeing what a lovely person I am. And
yes,
it has been absolutely really amazing. It's just like, well, I'm just really lovely, and I'm not going around murdering people and all of this terrible stuff that conditioning says and that I really believe. So yeah, it's a lovely thing, a really lovely thing. Yeah.
To get it, because murdering people, that's funny. Conditioning, the sins and crimes that we're accused of are the equivalent of that, right? That you're actually a really awful, dangerous, bad person. And then you get into a relationship with this woman, and you think, what? She's nothing like that. She's really kind, and she's friendly, and she's helpful, and she's good to people, and she works really hard and does the best she can. What are we talking about here?
Yeah.
And it begins to dawn, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, And bringing it back just briefly to the quote from today, there were lots of things that I saw about that, but one thing that relates to what we were just talking about in the previous caller is I found it's more relaxing to be here and know that anything might happen. And it means I'm more accepting of others, but it means I'm more accepting of myself, because I may suddenly do anything at any time. And I can say, oh, well, you know, that wasn't really me. That's fine. And more quickly, you know, move on.
Yes. So with that, something happened. So I'm not here. I'm in a conditioned story that is meant to make me believe that's going to keep me safe and in a state of well-being, but actually is perpetuating a health state. Once I catch on to it, I realize that. So now I'm here, and something happens. Maybe I wasn't here for a little while, and ego jumped in there and said or did something, and I can just say, oh, okay, well, that happened. Here we are.
Yes.
I don't have to waste a second of my precious life in a conversation about what I did wrong. Or anybody else did wrong, for that matter.
Yeah. So, yeah. I think I noticed it today and recently as well with just something might come out of my mouth. And I'm like, where on earth did that come from? Why did I say that? You know, and I've been practicing the mantra quote from the other day, and it's been so helpful. So yeah, just practicing, repeating it over and over. I choose conscious speech. It's gone out of my head a little bit now, but it's all lovely and all wonderful.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it?
It really is. Yes, it just
all
is.
Right.
Thank you.
Well, I hope
Thank
you stay you. In and warm and feel 110% soon.
Oh, yes.
And, I know you're going to have a great time.
Yes, I am. I'm doing the Huber Cure, and I'm happy and looking after my immune system.
Very good. All right. Thank you,
okay.
Anna.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Anna. And that brings us to the end of another wonderful show. Sherry, here is our assignment.
All right.
Egocentric, dwelling upon oneself or upon one's own personal interests, almost to the exclusion of everything else, viewing everything in relation to oneself, self-centered. Egocentric, in philosophy, existing only as conceived in the individual mind. Egocentric is used to describe particular people so often that we can forget the description applies to all of us. Human beings are egocentric. We experience life through ourselves. Everything is from our own perspective. We cannot see through anyone else's eyes, hear through their ears, or experience through their conditioning. Egocentric is not a pejorative term, though it's often used as such. It's an accurate assessment of conditioned human beings. We don't need to take our egocentricity personally or allow ego to criticize us for being egocentric. It's just how we are. Realizing that, we increase our chances of being sensitive to and non-judgmental of our fellow egocentrics. Today, see if you can sense your egocentricity from a disidentified, non-judgmental perspective. Record and listen.
I love it. Our fellow egocentrics. Here we all are. That's good.
All right. Thank you, Sherry. Take care.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.